Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Nancy Giles, in for Allison Stewart. Lorraine Toussaint is busy, really busy. Her NBC series The Village premieres tonight. Her AMC series Into the Badlands returns this Sunday. She has a lead role in the movie Fast Color, which premiered at South by Southwest and will be released later this month. She'll be in Guillermo del Toro's film adaptation of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which comes out in August. And a couple months ago, it was announced that she'd signed on to play radical lawyer and activist Flo Kennedy in Julie Taymor's upcoming Gloria Steinem biopic, alongside Julianne Moore and Alicia Vikander. Oh, and she also voices a character on Netflix's She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, which was just renewed for a second season. Did I mention that Lorraine Toussaint is busy? She joins me to discuss it all now. Welcome to All of It.
Thank you.
How does that feel to be this busy?
It feels good.
Yeah?
You know, I often say, you know, this ain't no hobby.
Yeah, for those who might have thought it was, right?
But it actually feels really great. I feel like if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person. And so I feel like I'm operating at the top of my creative power here. So it's great.
That is true. You know, it's funny as actors or as people in this business, when nothing's going on, you feel kind of bereft and whatnot and tired. And when everything is going on, you manage to get it all done. Yeah. How is that?
And it's great because you don't have time to question yourself. And so sometimes the choices are riskier, they're more fun and they're more spontaneous. And so you just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, did I miss anything? Have I covered all the things that you're involved in right now?
I don't remember at this point. I don't even remember some of the things I'm doing. So I think we're good.
So let's talk about The Glorias. That's the Julie Taymor movie. You're going to be playing Flo Kennedy. Let's see. Alicia Vikander and Julianne Moore are both playing Gloria Steinem. And Janelle Monáe is also attached. And Bette Midler. Oh, my. How far along are you in that production? Has it started?
We've wrapped the U.S. portion of it. There's a small part of it that's going to India, but we're done in the United States.
Do you get to go to India?
Oh, I wish I did. No.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Your character in the film is lawyer and activist Florence Kennedy. And 1974, People magazine called her the biggest, loudest, and indisputably the rudest mouth on the battleground. And I think we've got a clip of the actual Flo Kennedy. Let's take a listen.
My theory is let everybody be free to do what they think they want to do, and if anybody tries to oppress them, let them die resisting.
Now, she loved being described that way.
Let them die resisting.
I know. How do you approach playing somebody that's that, like, out there?
Oh, gosh, you know, the phrase is like, you know, the Pentagon, they're just talking because they are riddled with Pentagonorrhea.
What?
That's the way the Pentagon spends money.
That's funny.
There's great freedom in playing that outrageous a human being. And her goal in life was to advocate and provoke. So she provoked with her dress, her speech, her beliefs. She was such a radical activist in a time when the women in the feminist movement were trying to fit in. They were trying to walk the line to be taken seriously. She took the complete opposite approach.
I like that black cowboy hat that she used to wear all the time.
The cowboy hats,
kind of badass.
The pith helmets, the 3-4 bells, the whistle that she wore all the time to blow the whistle on the man.
Man. What was her relationship with Gloria Steinem like?
Gloria very much looked up to Flo because Flo in many ways gave her courage. They did many speaking tours together throughout the country, and so they were a speaking team. And Gloria attributes Flo to being the person who really solidly gave her a voice, a fearless voice in the feminist movement, so that she didn't actually have to conform to anybody else's idea of who she is or what she stood for.
And yet, she's the character that most people don't know about. They know about Gloria Steinem. So how important was it to you to really bring voice, because you're doing that, and bring voice and awareness of Flo in the feminist movement?
In all honesty, I hadn't known about Flo until
I
took on this project.
Isn't that
something? Because, again, history had not given her the credit that was due. and Gloria Steinem. Gloria has been an advocate for Flo. For if you go back in Gloria's mentioning, she mentions her regularly and often in such a complimentary way. So when I came on board, I was so thrilled to learn about her, number one, and then have the honor of trying to step into her shoes, and they are big shoes.
Mm-hmm.
That was really terrific. Julie Taymor is very committed to recognizing women of color in the second wave of the feminist movement, not just black women, but Native women and Asian women and Latina women. There are so many leaders in this second wave movement of feminism that we've never heard of.
In fact, that leads me to my next question, because you've written kind of critically about the women's movement. This is a quote of yours: "I don't feel like I'm part of the women's movement because it feels like the women's movement is the white women's movement." So tell me if that feeling has changed and how people like Flo Kennedy, how they can teach us about that intersectionality so that women of color can feel like they're part of this women's movement.
I think that's part of why we've never heard of Flo, is because the women who have been put out front, who have been recognized by the press and now by history, have not been women of color. Because you've got to also remember, we were moving through the civil rights movement at the same time, and so there were a lot of balls in the air.
Right.
And black women are often the ones to hit the ground first and to fall between the cracks. And so that's not surprising. But you know, I was at an event with the real Gloria Kennedy. With
Gloria Steinem. That's beautiful. Lorraine, you fused the two of
with
them.
With the real Gloria Steinem. And I still brought up, you know, the fact that even today, that there is, unless there is a concerted effort to invite women of color to the party and into this present day movement. And I also think the feminist movement desperately needs women of color.
They need the different voices.
We need the different voices and the different perspectives. And also, I also believe that women of color have a great deal to teach about feminism, because we were feminists before the word feminists. We were Amazons before it was cool, before there was a title attached to it.
It's in the DNA.
My mother was, my grandmother was. And so we've been walking this talk for eons. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been popular. It hasn't been a fad. We've just been doing it and aware that we have been doing it.
Right.
And so it's incumbent upon the quote-unquote feminist movement, which essentially has been led and propagated by white women and for white women, with an afterthought of women of color.
Right.
And the women who have been marginalized and who are necessarily in the forefront, it's incumbent on them to make a very conscious effort to reach into those communities and stand in the discomfort of moving into those communities.
Stand in the discomfort.
Stand in it, because we can't actually move forward as women without all women coming together.
It's true. And what's amazing is that this sounds like it was Gloria Steinem, anyway, her intent from the beginning, from the get-go. But because of the attention that was pushed her way and diverted away from Flo, it became this whole kind of hybrid thing.
And she didn't want the attention.
She didn't.
She never wanted that kind of attention. And she has always tried to bring women of color into the spotlight. But the spotlight didn't necessarily want those women.
Do you feel like that aspect of Gloria Steinem and maybe some others are going to be exposed in this movie, things that we didn't know about her?
Yes. I've always sort of known her as an icon, but my gosh, I admire her now because of who she personally and very quietly stood for, and the paths that she has made for us and has tried to make unsuccessfully, that someone else now has to pick up the baton and carry.
Yeah, it's time. She's been carrying it for a long time.
She has been.
You are clearly political and an activist, and I'm wondering how much you bring that consciousness to your acting, to maybe the roles that you choose or don't choose, or how do you operate with that as part of who you are?
You know, I don't even think of it as being particularly an activist, but I you know, I do choose roles very specifically. And I do, it is important to me to portray women authentically.
Right.
And that doesn't, you know, the early in my career, I felt like I was charged with you know, carrying the responsibility of the race. I never particularly took that on, because I thought I was black enough. I'm not just black, I'm black. And so I don't have to be black.
Right. And that's a heavy thing to have to carry, yeah, isn't it?
I as an artist, as a conscious artist, and recognizing that art has the power to change. It really does have the power to change hearts and change minds, that one really does have to be responsible for that charge.
Right.
And the power inherent in that. And I've always been aware of that. So the roles of the women, I mean, you know, look at the roles that I've played. Some of them have been morally questionable, but they have been, authentic women.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've also been interested in breaking out of the box of what they think women are.
Of expectations, yes.
Of who they think, who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to act like and who we're supposed to love and how we're supposed to. I like breaking out of the boxes.
Well, you do show all these different, no pun intended, colors in the work that you do. I mean, I've seen you on Law & Order. Your defense attorney, is it Shambhala Green?
Shambhala Green,
who, you know, does not suffer fools gladly.
But she was wrong half the time.
She was. But even when she was wrong and she lost, yeah, she fought the good fight.
She fights a good fight.
Amelia Boynton Robinson, you played her in Selma. Are any of the things that you you've gone through in your life in the past helped you inform these roles?
Everything that I've gone through in my life informs every single role.
How do you bring that experience to the parts that you play?
I identify what aspect of the self is needed to be in the forefront in a particular role.
Mm-hmm.
Which aspect of the self is meant to be driving the car in this role.
Okay.
And then I bring that up into full focus and I turn the volume up on that aspect of myself and then I let that aspect of myself drive the car.
You know, one of the series that I really loved your work, it was somewhat overlooked, I thought, was Any Day Now.
I loved that show.
It was a friendship between you and a young, you both grew up in the South, mm-hmm, and we see the friendship in the past and in the present.
Yes.
I think it was on Lifetime. Was it Lifetime?
Yes. That show was so
ahead. It was a sweet show.
And it's ahead of its time because we have not yet seen a show on television that has courageously addressed issues of race the way that show has. It has flown under the radar for 20 years and it's tied up in some sort of litigation that won't allow that show to even be on DVDs or in any, it can't be seen anywhere.
What?
But I gotta tell you,
you can't even find it on YouTube, I guess.
I think you can find it, you know,
Any Day Now.
Somewhere.
I'm giving a shout out to that sweet, sweet series.
But we talked about race in a way that no one has dared to talk about it. We talked about the quote-unquote N-word in ways that were provocative. We talked about the stereotypes, all the fears that white people have with black people and black people have with white people.
Yes.
And all the stuff that black people say to each other behind closed doors. And white people say to each other behind closed doors.
I know.
We outed both of our communities in ways that I think Nancy Miller, we love you. She was so brave in this. I wish that can come back. That show has actually been used in South Africa as part of reparations.
I can see why, because the beautiful friendship between those two women and the uncomfortable conversations.
Very difficult conversations.
Even though they knew each other as long as they did. It was a really timely, mm-hmm, show. I don't know whether we had to take a break or we don't. Oh, good. I'm looking at the control room. No break. Okay, great. So that ties into this new series that you're doing, The Village.
Yes.
It premieres tonight, right?
It premieres tonight.
So tell me about that show. Maybe, I don't know if there are any dynamics that are similar to Any Day Now, but it's a nice and interesting kind of community of people,
you know,
in that village.
This is a different time. It's a different time, but you know, some of the themes are the same and some of the issues are the same. This is a show by the residents in an apartment building in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn
in the house. I grew up in Brooklyn.
I grew up in Queens, but I can still say Brooklyn.
Eastern Parkway. And it's about a very diverse group of people who have come together in community and have become family.
Mm-hmm.
And many may think that this is an idealistic perception, but it isn't. This is the Brooklyn I grew up in.
All right.
I grew up in an apartment building where I had family and friends and neighbors who looked out for each other in the building. I went to college in Hell's Kitchen, where I was in an apartment building with eight apartments, and we intimately knew each other. We watched out. If you heard something go thump in the night, you open your door.
You open the window and take a look
you
and
open
see.
Your door and you look down.
That's
and
right.
go, everything all right?
That's right.
Everybody all right? And you showed up for each other. So that's what this apartment building is like. And the diversity here is one of the things that attracted me to it. It's diversity on every level. The youngest resident plays 16, and the oldest, Dominic Chinese, is actually 87.
Man.
And everything in between. My husband, Frankie Faison, and, you know, we've
another
been
wonderful actor.
Oh, another wonderful actor. And so we cover the teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 80s.
Holy mackerel.
Did I say the 60s? There's so many
it's
generations in this building, and races, ethnicities. It's a wonderful cross-section of America and how their lives interact.
Let's take a little listen to a clip from The Village.
My wife, Patricia, and I would like to welcome you to The Village.
Come out of the dark, to the light.
You're such a good man. Now I'm a lucky woman.
What's your story?
You got 6 to 5 years.
You're a fighter. I want you to say that to me.
I'm going to fight.
You're an organ in my body. If you fail, I fail.
Whoa, you're an organ in my body. If you fail, I fail. That was a trailer from the show. It's another one of those emotional kick your butt shows, just like This Is Us, which I think it follows. You guys come right before This Is Us. What are those two shows similar, do you think? Do they have a similar vibe? Is it a good matching to put This Is Us with The Village?
I think it's a good pairing. I think we come after This Is Us for the next 4 weeks, but at 10 o'clock, but it's This Is Us. The themes of This Is Us are very similar. It's about family, it's about community, although we go about it very differently.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely about family.
Mm-hmm. How do you find the time to do all of this, to sort of juggle these different TV shows and film a movie? I mean, we went through all the things you were working on when we first sat down, but how do you juggle that?
I'm a mom.
And you're a mom. Oh, okay. How do you do that? Lorraine Toussaint, how did you do that?
I prioritize, and I multitask, but I prioritize, and I tend to run my life a little bit like a military operation.
I do, you really?
Yeah, I do. I travel like a military operation, but, you know, my daughter is the most important thing in my life, and that's the end of it. And then I work. And within the work, I make sure that everything on the home front is locked down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the negotiation. That's part of everything. And so I'm on a lot of planes. I fly a lot because I come home. It's important to me to not stay gone. I fly home. The moment they say wrap, I'm home.
Is that right?
I mean, if
it's East Coast to West Coast, that's hard. That's aggressive. But
that's
you'd rather
right.
make sure that you're home.
I'd rather make sure that I'm home. And so, I don't know, you just do it.
Yeah. You have, you've been working on a lot of different projects, and I just want to touch on this television panel that you were on, where you addressed the importance of intimacy coaches on television sets, which was a phrase I was not familiar with. Can you talk about that a little bit, especially in view of like the Me Too movement and people, women especially, feeling safe on sets? What is an intimacy coach? When would one need one?
I think an intimacy, and you know, I got to tell you, that was a new phrase to me, also relatively new, because
going.
That was an intimacy. I've been involved in some, you know, moments on screen that have to be handled delicately.
Right.
But I'm not a bashful girl, and so I have had to stand up and state very clearly the conditions under which this work was going to be done.
Right.
The conditions under which I would be comfortable doing this work and really hold to it. And it's not always easy, but it's nice that there are now people being hired to do that, to hold the line, to be that bad cop, so you don't have to be doing the creative aspect of it all, so as well as protecting your back and your front.
And your front, and, exactly.
And every other place.
Yes.
So I'm very happy that that is even a consideration because, you know, I've known in the old days if you had an intimate scene and this was the time for the crew to gather around the monitors. I don't think so.
Oh, man.
No, well, I don't think so.
But now it's you have that feeling of safety much, much more.
Hopefully, yes.
All right. We'll have to leave it there. My guest has been the amazing Lorraine Toussaint, whose NBC show The Village premieres tonight. That and much more going on with her. Lorraine, thank you.
Thank you so much.